You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and sharing your passion. My name is Dennis Shrufin, and I'm here to help you create freedom in your time, money, and work through the long-term growth and power of YouTube. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to start a successful YouTube channel. We'll be talking about your audience, engaging content, optimizing for search, being consistent, engaging, as well as analyzing all together.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and creating freedom in your time, money, and work with the power of YouTube. And now your host, Dennis Shrufin.
So before we get into today's episode, it's actually been a couple of weeks since I've been working. I had a couple things going on in life, as a lot of us end up having, right? And this is just something I wanted to mention, not to brag or anything, but to just let people know, like, this is so powerful with YouTube, is that there were some pretty big things going on in life where I didn't really want to put a lot of focus into work. And my income effectively stayed relatively the same. I would say it was about 5 weeks, give or take, that I wasn't really putting a lot of work in. And that was a good thing. I needed to kind of take a little bit of a breather. And, you know, for most people, if you take a week or two off, you're having to use some vacation time. And with me, things kind of just stay the course when it comes to income because of the consistency that I've built with search engine optimization on my content, right? I produce something 6 years ago, and I'm still getting views on it today, whether I'm getting ad revenue, you know, recommending an affiliate, or selling something myself. All of those have played a role. Now, obviously, taking 5 weeks off kind of slows down things a tiny bit for the future, because obviously when I am putting in work now, and I mentioned this a lot in previous episodes with the podcast, is that for me, the way it works is when I do a lot of hard work, or if I'm working diligently on some projects for weeks on end, more often than not, those kind of flourish and bloom weeks and months later. And I talk about that all the time, because when we do SEO work, like we're going to talk a little bit about today as well, is that it could take months for a video to rank. And so when I'm not working for a couple of weeks, that will kind of be, I don't want to say felt later, but like I'll just see a little bit of a slower growth down the road, because in the time I wasn't working, all the things I had been doing for the last, you know, 6 months before that, we're starting to ramp up for me. And that's really the power of what we talk about in these episodes of the podcast, is that if you need 5 weeks off because, you know, you just need 5 weeks off, like, you're good, you're golden. I was having lunch with a friend and, you know, he asked, like, hey, how are things with not being able to work or not really wanting to be able to put in that effort right now? And I was like, honestly, things have been okay as far as, you know, income wise. And it's a luxury to be able to say that. And I do understand it. And also, you know, that's the goal that I'm trying to help people out with here. That's why in my intro, you know, one of the things I say is the freedom in your time, money, and work, right? So for me, I think it's really important. I think it's great to share these things, and more so just to get you excited if this is kind of the area you want to be in life, right? Where you want to go on vacation for a couple of weeks, or you want to go and just take a breather, right? Right? You just want to breathe and not have to worry about things. And it's not easy to get to this point. It took me years. And I think with sharing what I know here in the podcast, you're going to have a leg up to get to these places faster than it took me to do it by myself. And I did have some support and some, you know, knowledge that I was learning. And now I'm able to share that with you. And hopefully you can take a lot of what we talk about, not into just today's episode, but like all of the episodes we have, I think, over 50 plus episodes now. And so, you know, whether this is your first episode of you, or if you listen to all 50, I really hope that you can take a lot of what we talk about here in these episodes and really implement them into your, you know, channel, into your business, so that way you can be successful in the areas that you want to see grow and be achieved. So that's my little intro there for you before we get into the episode. It's just that, hey, if you can get to this point in your passive income with YouTube, you know, you can, you know, take a little breather, whether you need to for, like, you know, your mental state, whether you want to because you're wanting experiencing other things, or maybe you just can't because you're physically sick for a couple of weeks. That's where I want to help you get to as well. So make sure you're listening to this episode and all, again, 50 plus episodes we already have here on the podcast. So with that all being said, let's get into today's episode. All right. How to start a successful YouTube channel. And I have a couple of different things, and I actually forgot to give my little mention earlier in the off topic that I was talking about earlier, but we'll get into it with the remainder of today's content. So the first thing we want to do is talk about niching down and defining your audience. And we talk about this a lot on the podcast, and I always want to keep reiterating, because as somebody who's been in YouTube for getting close to 8 years now, I still am tweaking different things, and I try different things in my niche. I'll give you a great example. So I talk mainly, originally when I got into tutorial-based content on YouTube, it was mainly around investing apps. And then slowly I was like, okay, let's see if this works with banking apps. Okay. And then let's see if it works with this type of app. And then I got to the point where I didn't want to say I feel stuck, but I wanted to kind of broaden my horizons, right? Get a little bit more out there, because when we share with people, when you're getting started, it's really good to narrow down, and then you can expand as you go out, because it helps YouTube understand who you are, your audience to understand who you are. And I think if you try to do everything for everyone, you're going to reach nobody. And so as time went on, I started branching out to other forms of finance, so to speak, content, while maybe it wasn't so direct with investing or banking. And that ended up working out in many areas, but some areas didn't, because again, I was testing things out. So I do want to let you know, if you're just getting started with a YouTube channel, or if you've been doing it for a little bit and you're trying to figure out what's working, what's not working, niche down a little bit, and then you can start kind of expanding out a little bit more. You know, and we do talk about that. Sometimes it's really good to kind of throw the spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. That does work. And then just keep narrowing down. You know, see what strings of spaghetti stick on that wall and say, okay, let me do more of that. Let me do more of that. And let's keep narrowing that down. And then you can eventually kind of start expanding back outward. So it's not an indefinite thing that you're going to do this one particular topic forever. You're going to actually be able to, you know, expand your horizons and even test some things out. I still test things out 8 years into a channel, you know, especially now that I've been more understanding of what I do on the main channel. I still test things out on that channel just to kind of see what's working, what's not working within a relative scope of personal finance, because that's what the channel is all about. I don't like breaking out into other niches. Otherwise, I'd make a new YouTube channel, which is why I have four of them, because I just like, oh, I want to do and talk about this. And sometimes I've actually tested it out on the main channel just to kind of get an idea, and then quickly take those videos down and then create its own YouTube channel. It gets a little addicting, right? Because when you see a format like mine that works, that we talk about here on the podcast, with like search-based content, like you just get excited to do it over and over again. And that's actually kind of what inspired me to work with, you know, Dustin and the group here about talking about, you know, creating passive income, is because I've done it. And I've been able to replicate that myself multiple times. And I've seen other people who have taken what we talk about here on the podcast and be able to replicate that for themselves as well. Because it's a good formula, and it doesn't work for everybody, and it doesn't work for every style of channel, I would say. But what I can say is, if you test some of these things out and you see what's working, I think you're going to get a better idea of being able to move forward. Because, you know, we don't really talk about becoming like super famous here on the podcast. We don't talk about, you know, blowing up with a ton of views on a single video. Heck, if anything, I'm not even like encouraging people to go out and try to become, you know, like a instant, you know, famous type of channel. My thing is like, I just want the right viewers to the right videos. And the best way to do that is to understand who my audience is, understand that I'm being very niche early on. And that's honestly how I've started every new channel I've ever made beyond my original channel, is that I understood I need a niche down at the beginning, and then I can expand out. So consider that if you've been on YouTube for a little bit, you actually, we'll talk a little bit more about this towards the end, but you have data that you'll be able to reflect on and say, okay, what's working best on the channel if I've already had, you know, 20, 40, 50 videos, and what's the underlying niche that works best in? And let me dive into deeper areas of that. Now, for me, I would say that the most important part of this process that a lot of people, the thing that most people think is the most important part of this process is high quality content. And I'll say that, yes, having good quality content is going to be important, but it's definitely not going to be the thing that makes you successful early on. There's been tons of channels, especially when you go look at their older videos, they weren't the best at the quality of their channel, but they improved over time. So it looks like they've always been good at what they're doing. But more often than not, it has been really just, you know, building up and giving value, high quality value, more than anything else. And then you can kind of work your way through, which we call here, well, it's not, it's just the actual word, it's Kaizen. It's the improving 1% at a time as you're going through that process. And so we want to create engaging content, which means that we want to make sure that we're hitting the target audience that we are aiming for and how we're doing that, which is going to be a little bit in the next section here with optimization and search. But when people do end up finding you, right, how are you engaged with them? Are you keeping fluff out of your videos, right? If you're trying to aim for evergreen content, if you're trying to aim for somebody looking for the video based off of search, which is what we mainly talk about here, you know, how much of what they're searching for is actually in the video? And I say this in the context of, did you make an 8-minute video because you wanted to make it longer, but it could have really been a 4-minute video? You know, consider cutting all that down and making it a 4-minute video. I really emphasize on the process of, especially early on, you got to earn people's trust. And so how do you earn people's trust is when you get straight to the point and support them and get them their answers that they're looking for. And in every niche, I honestly believe every single niche can have a search-based version of a channel. And I've seen it. I've searched for it. I've tested things out. I've worked with clients as well too, where they didn't believe that their niche could be a searchable content, but every channel can. And so we had to ask ourselves, like, how can we best support our audience and think about the different questions that are coming up for them and then how they're going to be looking for it on YouTube and sometimes even just Google. Because in case you didn't know, you can actually get brought up in Google searches because YouTube and Google are interconnected. And so even if they're searching for it, not thinking that they're looking for a video, your content might come up, because my favorite thing to do is support people in ways that nobody else is supporting them. And that's where we kind of get into the next area here, which is optimizing for search and discovery. And for this area, we really want to emphasize on low-hanging fruit while also helping people where nobody else is helping them. This is probably my favorite way to get started on a YouTube channel, is when I work with clients or I talk to other people, you know, and we say, okay, what's your niche? Okay, what are the things that people are needing support with, but nobody wants to make the content because maybe 100 people are watching or searching for that every single month. And there's tools that we can use, like TubeBuddy, that we talk about and have linked in the notes, where you can kind of get the data points for how many people are looking or searching something up. And so my thing is, okay, if you do the thing that's most popular, it's going to be hard to rank. But if you do the thing that nobody else is making content for because they feel like it's a waste of time, but people are still yearning for that information or how to, or maybe the content that is already out there isn't decent quality at all. Maybe it's all fluff in an 8-minute video when it should have been 4. So they're like dragging their feet needing to watch this video because there's nothing else that exists. What does it look like if you're that person that kind of comes in and saves them? Makes the shorter video that really gets to the point, you know, is improving in your quality over time. All of a sudden, they want to build that trust with you over anybody else, right? And so I love, and even to this day, even with, you know, 8 years in content creation, even with over 100,000 subscribers, even with over 500,000 views a month, I still consider watching or making videos that people need that have less than 100 views a month that are being searched, because I want to be that person for that group of people. Now, of course, I am in a position now where I can make the more sought after videos and have a higher probability of ranking because I've built an authority. And that's what we're looking for. We want to build your authority in the search space. And the best way to do that is to make content that nobody else is making, nobody else wants to make. Because what does it look like if you are making 20 videos on small little topics of questions that people are asking in your niche, while everybody else is trying to fight over number one in like the, you know, number one search question, but you're doing these smaller questions and having 10, 20 videos coming out. And all of a sudden, those videos are getting views over time, and then they build on your authority. And so when it comes to actually being able to optimize for search, it's just understanding your audience better, which is why we always, like we talked about earlier, is defining your audience, your niche, because the more that is honed in, the easier it is for these videos to be created. It almost seems like opposite, right? Like you think, hey, the more narrow I get, the less I can talk about. Actually, the more detailed you can talk about your topic because you're being so specific about what you're capable of or knowledgeable on. And you're going to understand your audience so much better because now you're going to start looking for these opportunities of like, oh, you know, whether you're, you know, actually researching it yourself or you're using things like TubeBuddy to like see the metrics and you're like, wow, nobody's making these videos. I'm going to make this video right here and I'm going to help rank faster because nobody else is making this content and I'll get 100 views a month on this content. And guess what? That person's not going to trust you. They might end up subscribing, which is nice, but not necessary, because what ends up happening is the next time you are going to be making a content piece and they are searching for it, you have a higher probability of coming up on their specific search to help answer that question. And I'll kind of break this down a little bit more because it gets a little crazy. So, and I've done some tests on these with being in incognito mode and finding videos that are based off of content I've seen from a channel. So, and this is not always going to be 100% the case, but this is definitely in the realm of where I see it and how YouTube functions. So if you're going to search for how to do something, doesn't matter what it is, right? But it's in your niche, and you say, let's just go ahead and make this really specific on YouTube because we're talking about YouTube, right? So let's say you're a YouTube channel that teaches people how to upload and do a whole bunch of things on the back end of YouTube, like you're a YouTube creator, but like on the more like fundamental parts of actually taking action. So you make a video on how to delete a video on your YouTube channel. Well, that's going to be a little hard to rank for the beginning parts, but maybe there are other questions that people are searching for on how to do things as a YouTube content creator. So if somebody searches for how to delete a YouTube video, the chances of you showing up on their videos list of like searches is going to be pretty low, because there's a lot of competition right now. And then let's go ahead and say that you found another thing that these people are looking for on how to block a word, for example, on YouTube. So you could actually block words in the comment section or like on a live stream. Maybe these people are looking for it, but not a lot of people are looking for how to block words. It's just a small group of people. So let's say you make that video as well. So you make a video on how to block words on YouTube. And then this person is searching, right? Your future client or your future, you know, viewer is searching for how to block words on YouTube. And you possibly have a better chance of ranking because there's not a lot of videos out there. It's a little niche in what people are searching when it comes to being, you know, a YouTuber. So they'll look for it. And let's say you show up, and not that your timestamp is much shorter than everybody else's, but it's within a relatively good time frame. And it might be less than everybody else's because you're not fluffing it. You're not trying to drag out anything. You're just saying, hey, here's how you do this. And bam, you're taken care of. And let me show you the next thing, right? So, but let's just say you keep it really short. Let's say you're like a minute shorter than all the other videos. The chances of you helping get ranked, because now people are giving you a little bit more trust and you're helping people that not a lot of people are, you know, looking for or making content for. Let's say you get that first viewer, that client to watch, and they watch your video and they're like, wow, this person helped me. They liked your video. Let's just say they don't subscribe for whatever reason, right? Not because you're a bad channel or they didn't like you, but they just didn't subscribe. They forgot, whatever the case may be. And then, you know, they go about their time, and then you're consistently building out more content on your YouTube channel. And then let's say you get to a point where you're like, okay, now I'm going to make my video on how to delete videos off of your YouTube channel. And you post that video on your content. Now that same person from earlier who looked up how to block words, you know, on YouTube now needs some more support. And remember, they didn't subscribe to your channel. And now they're going onto YouTube or even Google again. And they're like, how do I delete a video on YouTube, on my YouTube channel? So the way YouTube is going to do this is going to say, well, hey, the last time this person searched for something YouTube related, or let's just, you know, say a niche related, this person helped them out with their content. They really liked it. They engaged with the video the entire time. Let's say maybe they liked the video, again, not even needing to subscribe. So they're going to say, we're going to post that person's video, that creator's video, higher in the rankings for this particular inquiry because of this client's specific engagement with that channel. So the client now is typing in, you know, how to remove a video from my YouTube channel. And now I or whoever's creating that content in that niche will have a higher probability of being ranked just for that individual. But what that does is it tells YouTube, yeah, this person knows what they're doing. This person understands their niche. And so I'm going to recommend it to them. And if that viewer watches again throughout most of the video, maybe likes it, maybe this time they subscribe, all of a sudden YouTube's going to say, okay, now let's start showing this to other people who maybe didn't already watch this channel and see how that performs. And if it continues to improve on that, all of a sudden you can start ranking for how to remove a video off of a YouTube channel beyond anyone who's ever seen you before. But that happens because you supported the people who didn't have any support or weren't getting a lot of good quality content because nobody else wanted to make it for them. So all of a sudden your small acts of kindness to be in support of, you know, people that are looking for very, very specific things that are maybe 100, you know, searches a month, not even getting all the 100 views, but 100 searches a month, and you're in contribution to that, the next time they need support, you're going to actually help yourself in the future rank higher, which then allows you to then maybe get to a further audience that isn't already, you know, understanding that you exist or know that you're around, because you're showing YouTube, hey, every time you put me in the rankings, I'm going to deliver what the audience member needs. So you can trust me. You can know that this little video here supported my audience member. So the next time they come in and you show them again my channel, I'm going to support them again. So now YouTube's like, well, we trust Dennis or we trust whoever the creator is. And every time they post a video, we have a better shot to know that if we send it to an audience that hasn't ever seen this channel, they're going to stick around at a higher quality than maybe other videos that are being ranked as well. And that to me is really powerful. And it really goes to show that small little impacts can make a huge difference. So really take into consideration, look at those small inquiries in your niche and how can you best support your audience? Because you're actually doing not just them a huge favor, you're doing yourself a huge favor over time. It's not going to be instantaneous. So a lot of people don't do this. A lot of people would rather do the popular things and the only things that, you know, people are looking for in mass quantity versus, you know, the smaller things. So really take that in consideration. And this goes to our next point, which is being consistent with uploads. And I don't mean this as like a, hey, every Wednesday you got to upload something, right? This means just showing up when you can and producing content relatively consistent. And especially if you go a little bit more in the search based, you know, quick 1, 3, 4, 5 minute tutorials on how to do something in your specific niche, you know, you're building a library of content that people can binge. So be able to watch if they need help in whatever space that they're in. So for me, it's not about every single week has to be the same time frame. I fell victim to that for sure as well too. I've talked about it in previous episodes. So just show up, create content, but keep creating content. Don't worry about the short term results. Look at the long term and say, hey, as I produce these videos, the first couple of weeks, it's going to be hard to gauge. But as like months go by, and I did say months, as months go by, you're going to get clearer pictures of what's working and what's not working. But it's really hard because a lot of people are not willing to do the work for that long before they start seeing results. It's like going to the gym. You're not going to see results for weeks, if sometimes not even months. You know, so you gotta be really willing to put in the work now, knowing that it might take a little while. And guess what? Maybe you go 6 months in and you still don't see results. But guess what? That might be your answer. And I'm not one to say, hey, quit, or, you know, don't do it anymore. But that can be a resounding piece of information that can allow you to let something go. Because sometimes I know people can hold on and stick with something, even if it's not working for them. I've done that in the past as well too. So again, I fell victim to some of these things I share because I've experienced them. But who knows, maybe 6 months goes in and you're like, whoa, there's a clear cut pattern that works really well for my YouTube channel now that I've had enough time, enough content out there. And look at this really kind of showcases. And I've kind of cut into my analyze part of this, but we'll get right back into it. So the next area is engaging with the community. I've seen actually a lot of YouTube channels where it's already a lot of work to get a video up and running. That's why I always encourage people to start with smaller videos, do 1 to 5 minute videos or less, especially, you know, questions or things that people are inquiring about. Because if you're trying to make 15 minute videos and you're brand new to the entire process, it can get so overwhelming, especially the editing part. I mean, if you can outsource editing, fine, great. I'm nothing against that, but I know it's not always cost efficient for most people. So keep these videos short. It helps with the consistency as well. But the thing I see a lot of people missing is engaging with their audience. Now, as you go through the process of getting more and more comments, it gets pretty difficult, especially when you're getting hundreds of comments a day, right? But early on, like you might be getting 1, 2, 4, 5 comments here and there, maybe in a week, maybe in a month. And we get to engage with these comments, right? Even if they're feedback that we don't like to hear sometimes, even if they're a little bit negative, like we get to engage with these because when we engage and they're engaging back, there is activity on the videos and YouTube really loves that. So make sure we are replying to comments. And again, the negative ones can be a little tough, especially if it feels like it's supposed to be feedback, but it's like attacking our character or our performance. You know, I've gotten people say, hey, you mispronounced this word. And my favorite thing is I've gotten so many comments of the exact same thing on that video. And I'm like, I wonder if that engagement actually is helping the video more than it would have normally had I not been okay with accepting that I made that mistake and not cut it out, and or replying to comments saying, hey, thanks for your feedback. Now I know better, you know, that kind of stuff. So engage, make sure you're commenting back and forth with your audience. Make sure you leave your own comments on your videos as well too. People forget that all the time. Maybe inquire in a question in your comment section, or you link up another video in your comment section for people to go watch of saying, hey, you enjoyed this video, check out the next one. Or, hey, this is the next step in the process of learning this niche, you know, click over here, or ask that inquiring question that maybe gets people to answer that and have that engagement with it. So, because we don't want to forget that part. It's a smaller part, but it is an important part as well too. And like I said, I did end up jumping into this last section a little earlier, but analyze and adapt your strategy, because this is a really important part. I've shared my story here plenty of times. I started 2 years into YouTube, and then I still made a huge pivot that I have now since then become, you know, really happy that I did, because it it really changed my intent on the channel. It really changed the trajectory of the YouTube life that I have now, because I looked at my numbers and I looked at my data, and then I made some strategy changes. And it was hard. It was not easy. I never want to think that it's so easy. I cried about it for like 2 months to a group of other content creators. And looking at the numbers, it doesn't have any emotions towards us. It's not telling me that I'm good or bad. It's just telling me what is, what's working and what's not working. And that's why we go back to consistent uploads really helps us. Keep them short and sweet, because the more we can have out there, the more data we get. And we have plenty of episodes on this podcast where we talk about, you know, how do you look at these numbers? How do you look at the analytics? How do you kind of have a better idea of what's working and what's not working? Because it's hard sometimes for a lot of people who are maybe not focused like the way I am to look at the analytics and actually even see anything. I make the joke that when I look at other people's analytics, like with my clients or just friends, like I'm like, man, I see a huge picture here. Like I see what's working and what's not working pretty quickly. So this might be a skill that we get to build up on, but it's not going to build on anything if you're not actually looking at your analytics, right? Like you're kind of like, I'll just make my videos, post them, and then go do something else, but not actually look at your numbers. Like you're almost avoiding the numbers because maybe you're afraid that, hey, these videos are not performing well, or they're not resonating with your audience. And that can be hard. Like it really can be. And you know, the biggest thing I have to say about that is that it can suck, and it probably will, right? When you're creating content and like people are not watching or subscribing, or you know, whatever the case may be that you're looking for from the results. So we avoid them. It doesn't help us in the long run. In the short term, it might feel good to just avoid them, but long term, we want to really understand like why these things are working and what's not working in our videos so we can improve on them, because that's the best way to move forward, right? So as you go through this, you know, like we talked about at the beginning, you know, niche down and define your audience, knowing that over time, you're going to be able to re-expand on that. You know, create good quality content. Really consider that you want the right viewer to the right video, because that's going to be the most important part of this. You know, optimize for search, right? Really consider, help people with the smallest minute questions they might have. Nothing is stupid. Everything is just the next step that they need to get into the next section of whatever the niche is. I always tell people there is, you know, no question that I wouldn't happily answer if I could, because if it means that person feels good about going through the next step in the process, I am that person that helps them. No judgments, no anything. Next up is making sure that you're consistent. Upload on a regular basis, not necessarily on a schedule to overwhelm yourself, but just know that like, hey, if I missed Tuesday, that's okay. I'll just release it on Wednesday or Thursday. Don't overwhelm yourself. But making sure that we're creating, I would say, shorter 1, 2, 3, 5 minute videos that help answer questions in your niche. Make sure you're engaging with your audience. And then of course, like we just talked about, analyze and adapt your strategy. Really take in consideration that these data points don't have any emotions against you. They have no judgment against you. They are just letting you know what is working and what is not working. Now, everything we talk about, always, we have resources for you if you want to dive in deeper. So make sure you check out the links in the show notes down below, whether it's with TubeBuddy for SEO, whether it's my little book here that will just kind of dive in deeper with analytics if you do want some more of that support. And then make sure you just go back and listen to all of our older podcast episodes. All of them are always relevant because we talk about evergreen here, which means those content pieces will be evergreen as well for you. So thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you later. Thank you again for listening to the YouTube Passive Income Show, which is part of the Master Passive Income Network. Now, in this episode, we talked a lot about some resources, which we'll have linked up in the show notes down below for you, including our 7 days to uploading your first YouTube video, which is going to be a checklist that's entirely free for you to utilize. Again, in the show notes down below. Have a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you next week.